Last Lord's Day, we studied a lesson in which we emphasized the power of God's love. That gave me an idea. That idea is, do we really understand the power of God's love? Just give it a real serious thought. What is this love anyway? We find it used over and over and over again throughout the Bible. We find it demonstrated. We find it commanded. So it then has something very seriously interesting for us. Because God so loved us. Now we've got to understand what we're talking about, which demands we give some consideration of what are we talking about when we're talking about love. It so happens the word love in the New Testament, the King James Version in particular, is translated from two different Greek, Koine Greek, words. And since it is given to us in the English language as love, which of the two Greek words that it was recorded in do we understand? We're given an example beginning in John chapter 16, chapter 3 rather, and verse 16. Read just the 16th verse to begin with. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Now briefly let that soak in as I make this statement. Last Lord's Day, Mark led one of the song services in which the songs that he picked out just fit beautifully with the lesson that we had. I don't think anybody could have done it any better than Mark did. This morning, who picked out what kind of lessons for us to sing about love? Thank you, Brother Rogers, for picking out those two songs this morning that emphasized what we're studying about this morning, the love of God. Now, what are we to understand about the love of God? For God so loved the world. The two Greek words in the New Testament, one is spiritual, the other is physical. Which do we understand this one to be? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? Look at it again. For God so loved the world. Something that God has done for the world. God is a spirit. So now we have a spirit doing something for the world. He's not down here to do it physically, is he? So if He cannot and could not pass this love to us physically, now how do we pass this love physically? Why, we'll shake hands as an act of love. We'll hug one another as an act of love. That's for physical contact, where the word is used physically. Since God is not physical, does He love us physically? No. The love of God is like God. It's spiritual. Now, if we have given thought to the idea that when God so loved the world, He loved the world physically, we have been mistaught concerning this text. God so loved the world. Therefore, the word love that we're going to be concerning with in our study at this time is spiritual. We're talking about the love that God has shared with each of us. I'm sure that most of you will understand the little example that I have given in some of our Bible classes concerning the love of God. You remember the triangle? And I put God at the point of the triangle up here. And then I put me or us down here in this corner. And you or somebody else over here in this corner. God so loved the world. And when He loved the world, He gave us command to love as He loves. What are we to do if we love God? We must accept His love, number one, right? We've got to accept the love of God. And when we accept the love of God, what are we to do? Notice that verse again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in Him has accepted that love of God. If he does not accept the love of God, he does not accept God. So now, who's he talking to? He's talking to those that are accepting that love from Him. What are we to do with it? Well, He gave the apostles a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He instructed the apostle Paul to teach others that they may teach others who may teach others. So if we accept this love of God, we accept this belief. It is a command of action. Not just a simple pouring out of the heart, so to speak. He's not talking about this heart down here in our bodies. He's talking about this heart that's up here in our head. The mind. So when we accept the love of God in our mind, the love of God tells us what we're to do with that love, and we're to get pass it on to this fellow, this person over here. Teach him, help him, encourage him or her, whatever the case may be. Why? That they may also accept the love of God and then be pleasing unto God, saved individual. Now, don't accept the false doctrine of most of the religions in the world today that tells you that salvation is in this word belief. It's there, all right, but not like they teach it. Because they say if you believe it, you're saved. No. If you believe it, you act upon it and do what God commands to be done in order that we will be saved. Remember, James says, we're not saved by faith alone, but by works. The works are involved in what we're talking about here on the basis of the love of God. So, if we love God, we've accepted Him. And if we have accepted Him, He expects us to prove that love that we have claimed to have accepted Him by doing what He commands us to do, that others may also believe in God. Accept His love. Now, that isn't too hard to understand, is it? Now let me prove that. When we teach something, we better be ready to prove it, you see. So let's just notice a little bit further in our text passage. I'll begin with verse 16 again, and we'll read down through about verse 21. And you watch carefully and to see how many words in this context will define what is involved in believing that he talks about in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the Son, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, isn't that exactly what I said when I described verse 16? Just exactly what I said. And it defines the terms that we talked out and brought about in verse 16. Does it not? Now, do we understand that passage? Let's go to another one. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians and notice in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 14. We'll talk about the love of God some more. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've accepted the love of God, haven't we? If we're bending our knee to the Father, we love him. Why do we bend our knee to the love of God? What do we understand by bending our knee? Giving ourselves into submission to him. And that submission is indicated by the bending of the knee. We are humbling ourselves in obedience, in love to the Father. So now we're getting down on our knees, as it were, as we begin to look further in this verse. Verse 15, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's why I know we've accepted the love of God. Because now he's talking about us as his family. We're not his family if we don't love him. Therefore, we've got to do some proving of this love in order for us to remain in his family. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Remember where the heart is? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, there's the word love, getting to the point, may be able to comprehend, as to understand, with all saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. that to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do we get the point? God so loved the world. What did He love when He loved the world? Well, by virtue of what we've read now in both of these passages, it's not this old globe that we live upon or in, is it? No, because the world cannot accept that love from God. And it cannot act upon that love to God in obedience. Therefore, it cannot be then physical. Cannot be this great ball that we live upon and we call the world or the earth. He's talking about the inhabitants of the world. I remember a statement over in the book of Acts where God has revealed unto us that He created this earth as a living place for man. And I think about that every time I hear somebody talk about trying to find human life somewhere else in this big picture. God made the earth as a dwelling place for us, for man. We don't need to go somewhere else to look for a place to live. God made this. Isn't it sufficient? If we love God, we're going to try to make the best, even though we may not like some of what goes on here or some of the areas of this old globe that we live upon. So we continue here, just by noting a little further. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now what is it to be rooted and grounded in this love? The love that God has demonstrated unto us, and that He holds in His hand, as it were, for us to accept and to live and to serve Him by. What is it to be grounded? Paul, in teaching along this line, uses another term with it, rooted and grounded in faith. Rooted and grounded. Do we understand rooting? Well, certainly we do. We know the plants that we plant gets rooted in the ground. The trees out here are rooted in the ground. They're fixed, they're solid. How many times does somebody in their automobile run into one of these trees and does not uproot it? Because it's rooted in the ground. They can't knock it out. So if we are rooted in the faith, in the truth, in the love of God, what's going to knock us out? Not a thing. The devil will try. Peter said, he said, roaring on, walking about, seeking who he may devour. So he's busy. Look at the world. Can't we see how busy he is, how corrupt the world has become? It's because Satan's on the loose. Maybe we haven't been rooted and grounded sufficiently, and we haven't used the love of God to the point of our ability. Well, I remember one time I had an opportunity. I'm like Paul, I'm not boasting, I'm telling a fact for our good. An exercising of what we're talking about here, the love of God. Community in which we were living at this time were trying to put sexual education in the public school system. Well, I have to give them credit. Not for wanting to put that in the school system, but because they wanted the parents of the children to know what they want to do. That gave the parents then right to either accept or to reject what they wanted to do. Now, what should we accept? What should we do if we have the love of God in our hand? What should we do? Well, this is what I did. The school system had an open house discussion in each school in the community. They started with a high school, largest assembly room, auditorium, and the largest audience was gathered the first night. I was there. One of the elders of the congregation that I was working with and one of the deacons sat right behind me. And I sat out on the aisle like Jerry is there, and the Methodist preacher was the head honcho of the meeting that night, and he sat at the little table right up at the end of the hall, center aisle. And when people explained what we were assembled for, then they wanted to know if anybody in the audience had anything to say. I couldn't hold my hand down. The gentleman up here behind the table gave the floor to me. I stepped out into the hall, and I preached that audience a sermon undoubtedly most of them never heard before. 8 denominational preachers were in that assembly that night, and I pointed my finger to the chief up here, who was a preacher, and I said, "You fellows have not done your job. You're supposed to be teaching people God's truth. Now you're wanting to accept the devil's invitation." And I preached the truth for almost 30 minutes. And this fellow kept trying to get me to shut up. And I said, "Sir, you gave me the floor, and I'm going to keep it till I'm through." And I did. Well, I went to some of the other meetings and some of the other schools, and when they gave the floor to the audience, I'd raise my hand. I went to the last one, was in the school that Vicki was going to. Virginia went with me that night, and she was sitting there by my side. I raised my hand, not a word toward my hand or me. I raised the other one, still nothing. I stood up, still nothing, even though there were folks in the audience saying, there's a man with his hand up. I still was not honored. They didn't know her, so she raised hers. They turned the floor over to her, and if they thought I was rough in what I had to say, they should have heard her that night. We taught the truth, and we did it being rooted and grounded firmly in that truth and in the love of God. So we didn't hesitate to speak words they could understand. They nearly wore our telephone out after those 2 lessons that the folks received. They did not, the school did not get sex education that year. Now, I don't know, well, I did in later years, but it was several years later. But the love of God is powerful. And when we have accepted the love of God and we're rooted and grounded, how firm should that love of God be? We now, having accepted the love of God, we've accepted God's responsibility, that which He has assigned to us, as to what we're to do with that love. And we must be rooted firmly, solidly in the truth, and have the courage, the knowledge to defend it when the opportunity is afforded. That elder and deacon that sat behind me that first night chewed me out because of what I did. Do you suppose they had any love of God? They certainly didn't demonstrate it that night. I would suppose that probably we all have opportunities that we do not recognize that they've passed on by. So, how often do we get to use the love of God? The only way we can do it is by also loving God. If we love Him, what are we going to do when the opportunity rears its ugly head, sometimes its beautiful head, giving us the opportunity of explaining the truth to somebody who needs it sadly, or badly, or maybe even gladly? Why? Why? Well, because we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How much do we love God? That's the big question, isn't it? How much do we love God? He so loved us enough to send His only begotten Son, if it were nobody to receive Him but me or you. That's how much He loved us. How much do we love Him? Jesus was willing to die because He exercised the love of God the Father for us. Do we love Him enough to respect and to honor by living according to what they would have us do in service unto them? Remember what the prophet of old said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. That's all we're here for. And we have so much to live for in the expression and in the passing along the love of God. And it seems like so often that it's just not getting done. Look how many churches are, a lot of them still growing, but by the same speed almost, there are a lot of them closing their doors. That includes some called churches of Christ. Closing the doors. Well, is that a sign of the love of God? Not at all. Not at all. So let us determine that we're going to do what the love of God was given to us for. Obeying Him. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. And there's never a time to take vacation from it. eternity, sure. We're going to be in eternity for sure. But where are we going to be in eternity for sure? It depends upon our love for God. I'm looking at an audience of folks that I think I know well enough to know just about everyone here has accepted the love of God in simple obedience to the gospel for which the Christ died. But is it possible that there may be one or more here that realizes that they do not have sufficiently the strength of God's love? And so consequently, they've done some things they ought not to do. God said, if you repent of it, pray for him, or pray to him, that he'll forgive you. And you have that opportunity right now of again accepting the love of God. Oh, there is no end to the study of the love of God. But we cannot take all the time at one time to study the love of God. We just got to love it all the time. We're going to sing the song that brother has selected for our invitation song, Free Waters. There's very few things that are free anymore, but the love of God is, all we need to do is accept it on His terms, on His basis. And you may accomplish that and leave this building a new creature in Christ Jesus, and surrounded by the love of God, there to fulfill your responsibility. With a determination to become rooted and grounded in the truth, that you indeed may live it for God and for His precious Son. All together.